Good morning. Welcome to Prairie Unitarian Universalist Society. I'm Robin Proud. I'm a member of the program committee. Prairie is a welcoming congregation. We welcome people from all backgrounds, gender, family structure, ages, and abilities. We have a wide variety of services. Sometimes, like today, we have presenters from the wider community. We have presenters from inside our group and sometimes from ministers. Opening words are from Barack Obama. Young African Leaders Initiative is a long-term investment in all of you and in Africa and the future that we can build together. From when he spoke at 2014 Young African Leaders Initiative Summit. We're very fortunate today to have two accomplished and even famous people here with us. I'm reading the bios and it's very impressive. And I'll tell you that in a minute. Were you each going to present for, say, 10 minutes or so? Is that going to work? And I apologize, I didn't have time to make sure I have the right pronunciation. Alfred Akrofi Okansi, is that right, from Ghana, is a journalist and campaigner with over 10 years of experience in leading public sector reform. He holds a degree in business administration from the University of Professional Studies in Accra, Ghana. He currently works at TV3 Network Limited as the lead primetime news anchor and business desk head. So we would see you on TV news, right, if we were over there. His face is probably well known. He focuses on initiating, planning, and executing thought leadership forums, as well as business town hall meetings to discuss policy decisions. Alfred is committed to using the power of the media to contribute to policy formation and to represent the views of society's most vulnerable. Upon completion of the Mandela Washington Fellowship, Alfred plans to continue his policy engagement programs and to set up skills transfer centers that aim to equip the less privileged in the Ghanaian society with vocational skills. And we also have Zaida Ibrahim, is that correct, from South Sudan, who has over 6 years of experience in finance system implementation for development projects in South Sudan. She's the founder of the OK Africa Foundation project, Keep the Girl Child in School, and the head of the Nadafa Le Beledna, is that right? Cleanliness for Our Country project. Zaida holds a bachelor's degree in business administration with a concentration in finance from Makerere University. Driven by her passion for the well-being of young girls and women in South Sudan, Zaida hopes to see a South Sudan where young girls have equal access to education. Upon completion of the Mandela Washington Fellowship, Zaida plans to continue to educate communities on the benefits of educating girls and environmental cleanliness. So thank you so much. And who do we have beginning here? Is that Alfred?
Okay, thank you so much for the invitation. We're really excited to be here. On behalf of the 25 Mandela Washington Fellows who are in Madison, we want to say thank you. We are 700 in all from 48 African countries on the continent. And gladly, as you read, program started by President Barack Obama in 2014 to enable young African leaders in various sectors to come to the United States. A number of things, then take the lessons, go back to Africa, implement it, and then make a difference in our various areas of work and also wherever we find ourselves. Mm-hmm. So it's been going on, this Mandela Washington Fellowship has been going on for over the last 5 years so far. So it's just 25 of us are in Madison, but we have 7 other states in the US. So that's what we've been up to over the period. Been here for the past 3 weeks. We're getting into our 4th week. We've had a number of places to visit to also understand some of the structures and how especially policies are implemented in Madison. We're taking a lot of lessons with us and go back to the continent and our various countries to implement it and also ensure that we create a needed change effectively. So as mentioned earlier, this is what I do. I'm a broadcast journalist, but beyond that, I am focusing on how I can use journalism to impact society positively. You know, because what we have been doing as journalists is just to report the news and report the problems and everything that goes on. So over the period, what I was asking myself is, what's really the use, the viewer, the public, if I'm just telling them the problems and not finding out the solution to some of the problems that I report about or I write the stories on. So that led me to forming the WAMI social group, which is a group of 8 professionals from various sectors who are my friends, actually. It was just one weekend sometime last year, I met them and I'm like, you know what, guys, let's just think about how we can use our skills to make a difference, you know. So they were of like mind, and it was pretty easy for me to just have them all come on board on the same page for us to start this social impact project. You know, WAMI is actually a native language in Ghana. The word there means help me. WAMI means help me. So it's more of a social entrepreneurship group that we put together. Can you go on to the next slide, please? Okay, so the motivation that we had was with the overall goal of world peace, liberty, and justice for all. There was a need to get involved in pursuing a solution-based journalism. And also, we believe that actions are right if they are useful for the benefit of a majority of people. So, indeed, I had 2 experiences, being the head of the business desk at TV3, where I am. Where I decided to start a startup, and I experienced some challenges. And out of the challenge, I realized a lot of other young people are experiencing the same challenge when it comes to starting their own businesses or startups. So instead of seeking the solution to my problem, which was going to be easy for me because I was the head of a business desk of a television station, I decided to rather expand, you know, the tentacles of my solution searching, you know, process to affect a lot more other young people who find themselves in the same space of having challenges in starting their own business. We'll go on to the next slide. So we want to influence society by doing good in our own small ways. We want to create the biggest group of corporate volunteers who willingly volunteer their time to a social development activity. So the 8 of us who form this WAMI social group, some are accountants, others are teachers. I have IT professionals as well who are into information technology, and then also we have finance people. So what we decided to do is that after work, we start work at 8 a.m. and close at 5 p.m. But I do up until 8 p.m. So when we're done with work at 8 p.m., we meet together and then we go out to the streets. So fortunately, while I was here 2 weeks ago, the government of Ghana has given us a public school to start the night school, which I'm going to be touching on in a bit, for the street children in Ghana. So this whole night, another experience that I had, which we could see on the next slide as we go on. So let's go back a bit. Yes, this one is more of a knowledge intervention program. So what you see there is, this first picture is close to 2,000 young people who got it in one location. We call it the Tampa. You can't actually stay away. What this is more of an election-based project. So during every election in Ghana, what I do is I go to about 40 tertiary institutions across the country to educate the youth about what they need to know, especially, you know, when these politicians come to them asking them of their vote, the kind of questions they need to ask them. If you arm them with knowledge, then they can ask the right questions. So I bring them all together, and then, you know, as many of them who can make it, then I tell them their rights, what exactly they should be asking of the politician, because mostly in Africa you have politicians either giving the youth some money or some rice or some tomatoes or some, they identify a need and then they try to meet it within the short period during their campaigning. So then they convince them to vote for them, and after the voting they forget about them. So we decided to rather give them the knowledge, and they ask the right questions, demand development that would go beyond just a week or two. The other picture is me talking to some tertiary students in one of the tertiary institutions that I visited during this particular process of giving them information about what they need to know as well. So the next one is the Take It To Them project. We decided to do, instead of just talking about their stories, we decided to take the problems out to the people who need to answer the questions, and also to members of society who think about how they can also help in solving the problem. So beyond demanding accountability through interviews, I get involved in telling stories that highlight the issues. So irregular or illegal migration is one of the stories that I did. We got support from the International Organization for Migration and France 24, that's a television station in France. They helped, we got onto the Mediterranean, which you see there, to actually capture exactly what these young people who go through the Mediterranean have to endure in their quest to get to Europe, to greener pastures, you know, as we see. If you have a boat of this, it's a inflatable boat, and it cannot carry not more than 10 people, but you have close to 50 people on it, and they travel at dawn. So it's two things. It's either it drowns, and nobody survives, or these humanitarian ships from France and Italy identify them and rescue some of them. So as a matter of fact, there's a video of that on YouTube, and also on our TV3 Ghana Facebook page. You can take a look at it later on, and you would see that, in fact, babies actually go through the process as well in the Mediterranean. They find them dehydrated, and then they go through so much. So the second picture is me in Spain, Barcelona. That is one of the very huge destinations of these migrants. The gentleman you see me speaking with is a Senegalese who came to Spain through the Mediterranean, and he told his story about how he's been surviving so far. And it's not been really very easy for them. They are not really finding the greener pastures as they expected. They have to endure so much. We're going to go on to the next one, please. So this is the Children on the Streets project, which is a story that I did and then gave birth to this night school idea, which I'll get on to briefly. The boy you see there goes by the name Hakim. Hakim met me at about 11 p.m. one day when I just closed from work. I was driving, got to a traffic light intersection, and he came to me. Normally, they come to you and they clean your windscreen with So I didn't like the whole idea, so I actually splashed the water, and he went back. And when he saw me, he mentioned my name, Alfred, TV3. Now, it's, yes, you would have people watch television. This is primetime news, and TV3 is the most watched television station in Ghana. So it's normal to have someone know me because I read the news. But to have a child on the street identify me was striking. So then I pulled off, I called him, interacted with him, why he's on the street and all. He told me a brief of his story. And 2 weeks later, I couldn't find him on the street, because every time I was looking out for him to give him money, you know, for food and all of that. Then I met two of his friends who told me that he had been sent to China. Asked, how did he get to China? Apparently, there's this non-governmental organization in Ghana that takes some of the children on the streets who want to go to school, to school. Now, in his school, which is a public school, and a typical public school in most parts of Africa is, you know, not very well resourced. They don't have very good contact hours with their teachers, and you know, everything is below average. There is this group, Stanbic Bank. They organized an essay competition for the less privileged children in Accra, which is the capital of Ghana. He partook in that essay competition, and he was part of the first five. So as part of the prize package, they were taken to China and back. Now the problem is, during the day, he's in the classroom. But after 2 p.m. when school closes, he comes back on the streets, because The non-governmental organization solved the problem of their education, but the accommodation and shelter was still a problem. So this is where they sleep, by the roadside on cardboards. That's him with his two other friends with their cardboard there. And if you're driving by the very busy roads in Accra, you would see a number of them. This picture I took is about 200 meters away from the Kotoko International Airport, which is the major entry point to Ghana. And this is where they sleep. And so in the morning, mostly out of the Monday to 5 days in a week, he goes to the school for just 2 days because it's either he's looking for some money or he's sick because of where they sleep. They're exposed to so much. Now, so when I got to know of his story, I decided to do a story on him. Now, when I put out the story, we had close to 2.4 million views in like a week. And after 3 days, we had so many people across the world wanting to help. Some people wanted to adopt him, others, you know, wanted to bring him to the States, Italy, you know, Russia. But then we didn't want to, in fact, I didn't want to be the one deciding his future, because the Department of Social Welfare in Ghana is supposed to do that, but they are also heavily under-resourced, so you don't have them doing as they expected to do. We can go to the next slide. So you see Hakim right there, and after telling his story, we use the media tools and leveraging on relationships. The outcome of the story of Hakim has been a brilliant street boy who has been giving hope. And we believe that we can scale that particular intervention up. So what you see here is Stanbic Bank adopting Hakim, two of his other friends, and investing 50,000 CDs, which is about $10,000, in streetism. This is one of the news items you can see online and right there. Now, after telling this story, there are so many organizations coming in to help. Stanbic Bank decided to adopt him. So now he's in the SOS International School in Ghana, which is one of the best schools actually, and Stanbic Bank has paid his tuition from primary six straight to the university. So the good thing is, when we met, this is the managing director of Stanbic Bank Ghana, and that's me, and that's the Department of Social Welfare director. Now when we met him, he asked Hakim, so he's going to feel lonely, so what is he going to do? So he said he wanted two of his other friends on the street to join him. And fortunately, Stanbic Bank also supported his two other friends with the same scholarship package. So we're able to get two of them off the streets to join Hakim as well and the SOS International. The smile of Hakim compared to the worry on his face in the previous picture gives us a lot of joy, because then we know that we are making an impact and at least spreading the smiles and ensuring that at least we have some equal intervention for as many people who deserve it. So Hakim is the one, the next, we can go to the next slide. His story led to this particular scaling up of the intervention that we have for these children on the streets. We, this night school is what we, is the next phase of our intervention as young people. And this eight friends of mine I'm talking about are under 35 years, you know, so we're between the ages of 25 and 35 doing this. So this is one of the Hakim's friends who couldn't make it to qualify for that particular intervention by Stanbic Bank, but fortunately he's happy to be playing with the laptop because he wants to learn something related to IT. There's one of us who learned how to develop apps all by himself sitting behind the laptop. So what we're trying to do is to, you know, transfer that skill to as many children on the streets as possible who want to learn, you know, how to use a computer and develop their computer literacy. That is not taking the place of their formal education. That's why we want to do it at night school. So they go to school during the day, and in the evenings, Monday, Wednesday, Friday, we meet them, and then we use our own laptops. For now, we want to actually make a statement before we go out in public to ask for help, because everybody who wants to help will want to see something going on first. So we're using our laptops, because all eight of us own laptops. So when we go, we give it to them to play with it while we teach them how to, you know, use it. So that's what you're seeing right there, right now. We give them food, out of our own contributions for now, while we're doing this, until we're able to, you know, reach out to as many people who, you know, think alike to also support this same process. So in the end, the second experience that I had was a startup fair and funding summit with a startup that I wanted to start, which I couldn't. So we go on to the next slide. Eventually, what I was able to do was to put up a startup fair in Kumasi and Accra. Kumasi and Accra are the biggest cities in Ghana. Now, what we did was able to bring together about 200 startups in one location last year and this year. So with these two events, this is Accra and this is Kumasi. Now, we got them together and we had angel investors and venture capitalists come and identify the businesses that they want to support and to also help them expand. So instead of searching for the solution to my problem when I was starting a startup, I decided to scale it up and have as many people benefit from my networks and the relationships that I have to be able to also expand their business. So very finally, yes, the greatest happiness of the greatest number should be the guiding principle of conduct for all of us. And I want to thank you very much for this.
Zaida?
Yeah. Thank you very much. He said everything about Mandela Washington Fellowship, so I'll go straight. So I'm from South Sudan. I work for an international organization called Alliance for a Green Revolution in Africa as their finance officer. And then... I co-founded a national NGO called OK Africa Foundation. It is also a group of friends. So as young people, you go out, have fun, go for boat cruises. So one day we said, why do we keep spending money on alcohol? We can as well come together and use that money to help people who are in need. And then we registered OK Africa Foundation in 2016. And it is registered by the Relief and Rehabilitation Commission. Next slide. Oh, we focus on empowering the youth and women for sustainable development. South Sudan population, 72% of the population are youth. We are about 10 million. So the population, most of the people are young. And we feel because of the crisis that has been going on, even the war, the government does not focus on the young people. And as we all know, if young people are not planned for, if they are not equipped with knowledge or skills, in the long run it will be a problem for the country. So we felt instead of waiting for the government, we should do our part as young people and help those of us who need help. So our mission is to, we are committed to attain sustainable socio-economic development through a peaceful generation of citizens, embracing diversity, improvement of quality of life, and reducing illiteracy. We are about 64 tribes in South Sudan. It is a very small country, but with 64 tribes, so that if not managed well, it brings problems. Our vision is to have an informed, peaceful, self-sustainable, and healthy society. Mm-hmm. Next. So our thematic areas are peace, governance, and democracy, environmental protection, education, health, nutrition, and wash, gender and child protection, agriculture, and food security. This is very huge, and given the time we started, it means for now we've not been able to touch on every thematic area. So we've decided to prioritize and deal with what we think is urgent. Next. So under peace and governance, we've been able to organize youth participation and leadership. We do youth in peace building, conflict mitigation and negotiation skills, nationhood and national identity, advocacy on policies, youth and culture. Next. So we've organized panel discussions on role of youth in implementation of the ACES. If you know the the history of South Sudan. We attained our independence. Then 3 years down the road, again, there was a crisis in 2013. Peace was signed again in 2016. There was a crisis. So in 2018, there was the revitalized agreement. Was in one of the workshops we organized. This is a young person from YWCA asking a question during a conference. Next. This is the wife of Dr. Riek Machar, the leader of YWCA in opposition. We also invited her to participate in one of the conferences, and she was responding to questions because she's the chairperson of the board of the Strategic Defense and Security Review. So next. This is Major General Majer. He's giving updates on the security arrangements by the joint military. I think this was towards the time when the ceasefire was about to be agreed. So when we were sensitizing the youth, we decided in so that he's able to give people from first information. Next. These were participants during one of the conferences organized. Next. And then under environmental protection, like she said, every last Saturday, and in that process we mobilize other youth-led organizations and then the public in general. We come together, we clean, and we work with the town council and then the Minister of Defense and Environment, so we got support from them. Next. So this is Nada. Our slogan is don't just be youthful, but be useful. So it has really become famous to the extent that sometimes when you just go to the public, youth just be useful or Nadafale the letter. So this is the official language of the Nadafale. The first day, the Lord, but we still cleaned during the rain. Next. So this is military relations. Because our country has been in war, so we fear soldiers. The moment you see a soldier, you need to be aware. There is a big gap between civilians and soldiers. So during Nadafa, we thought it could be an opportunity to sensitize citizens and tell them that the soldiers are our friends. Apart from holding guns, they can actually contribute to the development of the country. And we were able to do that. The Minister of Defense gave us 1,000 soldiers to clean with us in one of the events. Next. So, the best news for Nadafa, the Beledna, when I was already here, I received an email and we won the Energy Globe National Award for South Sudan. And it was really nice. Under education, just go to the next picture, I'll be able to talk. So under education, like I said, we are still young and we cannot handle everything at a go. We have to go one step at a time. We sponsor 10 orphans in school and we partner with a telecom company called Zen. What Zen does, it gives scholastic materials, bags and books and pens. And then us, the board members, because this is not supported by any NGO, we don't have support from other companies or organizations apart from Zain. So the board members have to come together every year. We put together the amount of money required for these 10 children and then they contribute. And since 2015 until today, they are still in school from primary 1 to primary 7. We have that age group. Next. These are the kids. They are from an orphanage in Juba. Yeah, but what we do, since these bags are many, we go and give to all the orphans. Apart from the 10, we give to everyone. Next. So we visit them every end of month to check on how they are performing, and we play with them and then we leave. Next. This is one of the pictures, because we are there the whole day, so we have to cook food and eat together. Next. The girls, again, our history, I will keep referring to our history. We've been through too much. Most families are poor, they cannot afford pads, so girls drop out of school, or they don't attend school regularly, and they stay home during their periods. So what we do, we go with sanitary pads and try to give these girls every month so that they can stay in school. Next. This is a picture, we were playing with them. Next. Under gender and child protection, I don't think we have much here, but we have a campaign called Men for Women campaign. Because what happens is, in South Sudan, we are still in a state where the men think girls cannot go to school. They're supposed to stay home and get married by 14 or 17. Child marriage is still an issue. Forced marriage is an issue. Even in homes, women have no say. So we thought it's wise if the men in the organization take the lead and try to tell people that actually girls should go to school, girls should be supported, girls should be given parts. So the board members and the staff, that is an online campaign. So we look at, when you go to the next slide, I already talked about this. Next. So the Men for Women and then the Girl Child Project. So this one is an online campaign. Every Tuesday of the week, we put on black t-shirts. We mobilize our friends on social media. We put on black t-shirts, put a writing, "I stand for girl child," and then it's viral. It's ongoing now for the 3 years, and it's known. This is one of the pictures. This, I even don't know him. He just posted the picture on our Facebook page. Next. So we create how do you call this? It is an art design. Yes, mm-hmm. so that we can share on social media to just educate people. Next. And also to support the girl child, because we don't have money and we don't have funding, so we organized a march. It is kick the ball and send a girl to school. Many people came, and all this money collected is used to buy pads. Part of it is used to support those kids that we are paying, because some of them are girls. So that is a way of raising money. Next. We also partner with artists, and this artist is also a board member. So we put up concerts, and then all the gate collections are taken to support the girls and the orphans. Next. So this is one thematic area that we've not handled, and then this is what I was trying to touch, the Men for Women campaign, supported by friends and the board of directors. So we have 5 schools. So these people have to go online and they campaign on social media, and then we visit these schools, we take for them pads, we talk to the girls about dangers of child marriage, and we talk to them about benefits of staying to school, and we talk to them and tell them it is their decision. No one can force you to be married if you decide to stay in school. So next. Our challenges: inadequate funds, bureaucracy, especially when it comes to the cleanliness. Even we are doing it for free and we are helping them, but we have to do security clearance. We have to clear with the town council, and sometimes these events they are cancelled because the clearance did not come in time. So it's a challenge. And then we have poor drainage system. So we are hoping that with time we will have dumping sites, and then the drainage systems are okay. Because what happens now, even when you clean and take the rubbish to the dumping site, as soon as it rains, the rubbish will come back. Yeah. So an informed population. In all these things we are doing, the people don't take them seriously. Some people think that maybe you're being chaotic. Some of us, they call we are rebellious women. So they don't think what you're doing is right. They think what you're doing is turning their children against them. If it is the government, they think you're trying to form a rebellion against them. Yet in reality, you're helping them do their work. Next. Our partners are all this. We have NRC, we have CRA, it is actually CRC, and then NPA, UNFPA, UNESCO, and then all these ones are also youth-led organizations, and we partner with them on NADAFA Le Beledna, and then South Sudan Red Cross. Next. That's, you can go on our website, okafricafoundation.org, on our Facebook, and then you can follow us on Twitter, and that's our email. And the second one is mine. Next.
Okay. Well, thank you both very much, and I'm sure people would like to discuss it further. So,
the U.S. State Department is sponsoring us, because even though this program was initiated by the Obama administration, this administration actually also decided to continue this policy. This is one of few policies I know decided to continue. So hopefully we hope that they continue, because it's been very impactful over the years. Yeah, so
can be loud enough. What happens is you have to keep assuring them that what you're doing is not against them. You be as open as possible, and then you insist on getting their approval, and you answer to questions if they are asked.
So I think it's the same. For example, with some of the stories that we put out there, it appears very offensive to the government of the day, because they are seen, or they expected to, find solutions to some of these social problems. Mm-hmm. But then when they find out that you are coming from a collaborative approach and not one that is just criticizing them without giving them an opportunity to contribute to the process, then they know that it's more of a win-win situation. So you are coming in, you're proposing a solution, and then whatever help they can give, both of us come together and then we try to get an intervention. Yeah.
All right. Well, thank you both so much. This is really it's very impressive to know all the difference that you've already made, and you can see how these will spread out all the people who are working with you and who are touched by this, who can spread that further. Our closing words are from Nelson Mandela. It always seems impossible until it is done. So please greet your neighbors and speak with our honored guests.